You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And again. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Conversation discussing the book Think and Grow Rich. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder helping to build stronger and better lives, and we are so very excited that you have decided to join us again this morning. We are walking through the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. This particular week, we're discussing the chapter entitled Organized Planning. Napoleon Hill was asked by Andrew Carnegie to research the wealthiest, most successful people during their day and to identify the principles, the characteristics of why is it that some people are very successful. And he asked him to take 20 years of his life without receiving a dime to do this process. And we are the recipients of that research in this book. So today we have come to share with you, as we walk through this chapter, we've already discussed the major factors of leadership, the good, the bad, the ugly. And at this point, we're now discussing taking inventory of ourselves and the 28 questions that we're going to answer. To do that, I'd like to introduce our host. And again, my name is Ann McNeil, and I'm the founder of the International Mastermind Association and also MCO Construction. Right now, we're going to ask, in this order, Ursula Odom to introduce herself, Angelique Frost, and then Thomasina Williams. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. This is Ursula, and I am the CEO of Sula 2, and we make old, new in everything we do. And this process has been very enlightening for me, because one of the things that we do is we gather, preserve, and present your legacy information for your corporations or your individual self in any form possible. That's what we do.
Thank you. Next.
Good morning. This is Angelique Frost, owner of the Remarje brand, and I'll be soon taking over retail, and I sell bracelets for No One is the Same with exotic beads from all over the world. Thank you.
And last but not least,
good morning. This is Thomasina Williams. I help families to advance generational success by being as intentional in advancing their family's human capital as they are in growing their financial capital.
All right. Thank you so very much for that introduction, ladies. And as you all know, we're going to be discussing these 28 questions, and they're self-analysis questions. And Napoleon Hill shares in his book that in this particular chapter, we're going to find an adequate description of every principle essential in planning the sale of our personal services, including major attributes on leadership. So with that, we're going to go to Angela Thomasina, who's going to share with us the questions.
Yes, thank you, Anne. And for those of you who may have a copy of Think and Grow Rich handy, as Anne said, we're in the chapter on organized planning. If you have the version of the book that was copyrighted 2015, it's the original version restored and revised, compiled by Ross Cornwell. I'm on page 133. This is in the chapter on organized planning, the section that says take inventory of yourself. The subsection self-analysis questionnaire for personal inventory. One, have I attained the goal which I established as my objective for this year? You should work with a definite yearly objective to be attained as part of your major life objective. Two, have I delivered service of the best quality of which I was capable, or could I have improved any part of this service? Three, have I delivered service in the greatest possible quantity of which I was capable? Four, has the spirit of my conduct been harmonious and cooperative at all times? Five, have I permitted the habit of procrastination to decrease my efficiency? And if so, to what extent? Six, have I improved my personality? And if so, in what ways? Seven, have I been persistent in following my plans through to completion? Have I reached decisions promptly and definitely on all occasions? Nine, have I permitted any one or more of the six basic fears to decrease my efficiency? And the six basic fears include fear of poverty, fear of criticism, fear of ill health, fear of loss of love, fear of old age, and fear of death. Next, 10, have I been either overcautious or undercautious? And there are 28 different areas in which Napoleon Hill suggests that we take an annual inventory. I'm going to stop right there, Anne, at the first 10 and see if we can have a little discussion about one or more of those.
Absolutely. And Thomasina, we want to ask our guests and our callers, if you would like to participate in this conversation, please press 1 on your dial and we will bring you in to either make a comment or ask a question. So with that, we're going to go to the first one of us that's discussing the first set of 10. And so I do believe I am one of those. And so the one that resonates with me the most was number 5 as part of this set of my own self inventory. And number 5, just to repeat, it says, have I permitted the habit of procrastination to decrease my efficiency? And I would say in the very beginning, I would say yes, because I really was not very clear about my definite purpose in my business and also in my life. And because of that, I found myself very busy, busy with being busy and running around doing things that did not add up, if you will. And when you think about energy, the only thing we really have that's the best resource, we think is money, but it's actually energy. So when you think about your energy and where you're putting that energy, this is for me, Anne McNeil, I realized my energy was really being dissipated, and that caused procrastination because I wasn't sure in making definite decisions quickly about a particular direction. So that would be my first one. So Thomasina will go to the next person.
Yes, that would be Angelique. I think, Angelique, you wanted to share about number 1, attaining the goal which you established as your objective for the year.
Yes, I would love to share, and this one kind of registered to me a little bit more just because I'm relatively new with getting my feet wet with pursuing and becoming an entrepreneur. And I must say that when in this book they say riches, it usually happens quick. The turnaround time on my business, getting it up, getting approved for my loans, happened so quick. I could not explain to you how, how God can really blow your mind if you allow him to. And I wanted to say that when I came into this, I would write down my description of wanting to be a millionaire. And it just happened so quick, Thomasina. as far as getting retail, as far as getting the website up. And then some of the goals that I have set, although I have met all of them, I must say some of them kind of merged into one another. So a lot of the short-term goals that I had set happened a lot quicker, and a lot of my long-term goals had to be rearranged. So that's why I think, number one, have I attained the goal which I established as my objective for the year, is something that you kind of have to consistently reevaluate yourself to say, where am I at with the business? How is it not only aligning with me? And Thomasina, I'd like to share, off the call, actually reached out to me and was telling me about the holiday sales, because I originally wanted to launch in January. And that was just like, you're absolutely right. So sometimes you have to rearrange yourself and do a self-evaluation, which if you're new and pursuing starting a new business, is something you have to get used to. So this is kind of self-inventory for yourself, not to compare yourself to someone else, but kind of to compare yourself with where you want to be in success as a successful business. Because even though sometimes I can sell my retail, I sell my bracelet off my arm, and it makes me kind of want to branch out and make sure that I'm aligning myself and setting myself up for success a little greater. And that's what I like about these. It gives you an evaluation of not just where you are, but where you would like to be. Thank you.
And that just interjects before we go to the... Yes, thank you. I'd just like to interject. This is why we come on every Saturday. What Angelique just described is actually a part of the mastermind process that we all engage in every single Saturday as we help support each other in our particular goals that we set. In walking through this book, we're able to go a little bit higher and a little bit higher, but also a little bit deeper internally in terms of our self-analysis. And not just self-analysis, because oftentimes people can see things in us that may need to be improved that we don't see or we choose to not see. So thank you. We'll go to the next person, please.
So that was it, I think, Anne, for the first 10 of the 28 areas that Napoleon Hill asked us to do a self-analysis. I'd like to go to read the next 10, 11 through 20. And again, for anyone who's just joined us on the call, we are in the chapter on organized planning that is a part of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. If you happen to have the original version restored and revised, with a 2015 copyright by Ross Cornwell, then it's chapter 6, I believe, of that particular edition of the book. Yes, chapter 6 on organized planning. And we are focused on the self-inventory. There are 28 different questions that Napoleon Hill suggests we ask ourselves annually to do a self-analysis. We've covered 1 through 10. Now let's take a look at 11 through 20. Number 11 says, has my relationship with my associates in work been pleasant or unpleasant? If it has been unpleasant, has the fault been partly or wholly mine? Number 12, have I dissipated any of my energy through lack of concentration of effort? 13, have I been open-minded and tolerant in connection with all subjects? 14, in what way have I improved my ability to render service? 15, have I been intemperate in any of my habits? 16, have I expressed either openly or secretly any form of egotism? 17, has my conduct toward my associates been such that it has induced them to respect me? 18, have my opinions and decisions been based upon guesswork or accuracy of analysis and thought? 19, have I followed the habit of budgeting my time, my expenses, and my income, and have I been conservative in these budgets? And number 20, how much time have I devoted to unprofitable effort which I might have used to better advantage? And I believe for this next set of 10, Ursula, you wanted to share about a couple of these.
Yes, thank you. Number 12 and number 14 are the two that I'm going to focus on because I think it clearly describes my path in life. When I was little, my grandmother used to tell me that I was blessed. And that took a definable form when I got my first job in corporate America as a supervisor. The person that hired me said, "Ursula, you are both task-oriented and people-oriented, and that is rare." So I was very proud of that, but it also becomes a curse because I tend to like to do a lot of different things, and they're all over the place, or at least that's what I felt. I loved old documents and old photographs, and then I liked computers, and I spent 20 years working in the computer industry and what have you. Then I started writing poems, and I wrote a book. So it appeared that I was all over the place. And then one day when making a transition from one thing to another, I sat down and I put my name in the middle of the page. And on the left-hand side, I wrote everything that I had ever learned, and then everything I actually liked to do, just everything about me I could think of. And on the right-hand side, I list if I was doing anything with that, if I still liked it, if I was making money with it, what was the status of that skill that I had learned, I don't care how long ago it was, or that thing that I liked, even scrapbooking. If I liked it, it was on the left. If I did it, it was on the left. And if I was continuing to do it and continuing to like it or making money with what I was doing, it was on the right. And on the right, I would highlight those things that were making money and that I still liked. I may have been doing some of the things that I initially did on the left, but I may not like them anymore or I didn't like them anymore, and that became apparent. So it helped me eliminate some of those things that were not important in my life or that I didn't like anymore. But what came out of that is that I realized that the central thing in my entire life was started when I was like 5 years old. I crawled under my grandmother's bed, and I pulled out an old cigar box, and it had photographs, letters, stamps, coins, a lock of her sister's hair, and that ended up being the central part of my life. No matter what I was doing, if I was working in a computer, leading a group of people with documentation and training, or if I was writing a book or whatever, the central thing is that that little girl found who she was when she crawled under that bed. And it took years later for me to realize that all of these little things that I had learned actually comes together for the good of the kinds of things that I'm doing today. So each step was a part that I needed. But until I realized what that little girl really wanted to do and wanted to be, then I was totally scattered. Now I realize, and I came up with the slogan for my business because of it, that I will capture, preserve, and present your corporate and individual legacy information in any form possible, which means the company and I can produce books that I write, books that you write, legacy walls. I'm doing legacy walls for schools. And all of these things bring together my abilities to recognize history, good art, and love of the story. And then the presentation of that information in a way that it can be appreciated. So When that's number 12 was my energy dissipated. It was before I began to analyze who I am and what my company is all about. It was all over the place. But when I realized that those were the pieces that needed to come together in order to do what I ultimately wanted to do, then number 14, how have I improved my ability to render? The first thing that came to mind is that I had a sense of calm. I'm where I want to be. And therefore, instead of just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, I just started moving forward because this is where I am. This is where I want to be. I don't have to justify that I'm right brain, left brain. I am who I am. My company is what it is, and now I can do what I've been destined to do. So that way, when I produce for my clients, I have a sense of confidence, a sense of calm, and a sense of joy in what I do. So those two questions were eye-opening for me and appealing as well.
That's a great story about the power of self-inventory.
Thank you.
Self-analysis also. Thank you so much. And Thomasina, I think you're up.
Well, I think, Anne, at this point, maybe what I'd like to do is go to a quick commercial break so that we can give some of our listeners an opportunity to think about whether they'd like to join into this conversation about doing an annual self-inventory.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And we're
right,
back
thank
live.
Thank you, Thomasina. You can go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Anne. And for those who have just joined us, we are in Chapter 6 of Organized Planning in Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich. If you have the version that is the original restored and revised version compiled by Ross Cornwell, we are looking at the inventory that Napoleon Hill suggests we take of ourselves. That begins on page 133 and goes over to page 135. There are 28 questions that he suggests we ask ourselves as part of our personal inventory. We've covered 1 through 20. Now let's take a look at the last 8, which starts on the beginning of page 135. 21, how may I rebudget my time and change my habits so that I will be more efficient during the coming year? 22, have I been guilty of any conduct which was not approved by my conscience? Have I been guilty of any conduct which was not approved by my conscience? 23, in what ways have I rendered more service and better service than I was paid to render? 24, have I been unfair to anyone? And if so, in what way? 25, if I had been the purchaser of my own services for the year, would I be satisfied with my purchase? 26, am I in the right location? And if not, why not? 27, has the purchaser of my services been satisfied with the service I have rendered? And if not, why not? And then last but not least, number 28, what is my present rating on the fundamental principles of success? Napoleon Hill goes on to say that make this rating fairly and frankly and have it checked by someone who is courageous enough to do it accurately, to be honest with us, essentially. Reviewing these 28 questions, we then can create a practical plan for marketing our personal services. The one of these that resonated the strongest with me is number 25. If I had been the purchaser of my own services for the year, would I be satisfied with my purchase? And for me, this one is really important because it speaks to whether or not I'm holding myself accountable to the standards that I say I want to hold other people accountable to. It brings to mind a conversation I had with a group of 30-somethings that were part of a client company, and several of them were vying for leadership of the company as part of the next wave after the current generation retired. And so we went through this exercise, and I asked everyone, what is their definition of leadership? And what are the characteristics that they would like to see in the next leader of the company? And we had a very lively discussion, and everybody had different things that they thought were important. And then my next question was to reflect just to themselves, not to share with anybody else, because I think it's most important that we're honest with ourselves, even if we don't want to be honest with others. Are we ourselves living up to the standards that we say we want to see in the next leader? Are we ourselves living up to the standards that we say we want to hold the next leader accountable to? And it was very interesting that the energy in the room just shifted as people sort of had this aha moment that I've been putting out these standards for other people. And if I'm honest with myself, I'm really not adhering to those standards myself. And I think about that because number 25 says to me, if I say that I want to put out a quality product, a quality service, would I buy my own product? Would I buy my own service? And I think that is a question that's important for me to ask myself. Am I doing unto others what I would like to have done unto me? Is another way that I think about it in terms of living the principles of putting out a first rate quality product or service that I myself would buy. And if I don't want to buy it, if I have concerns about the quality, if I have concerns about the cost, if I have concerns about the quantity, then certainly other people, the customers I'm going after, will have that same question and concern. So this is one that I use as a standard of accountability for myself, whether I would purchase my own services, and if so, would I be satisfied with that purchase?
And Thomasina, I think that really can be asked of all of us. We do have a caller that has raised their hand, but I really want to encourage all of our listeners, again, if you do have comments or questions, please just press 1 on your phone. But I don't want to move away too quickly from the comments that each of us have made. And just as they resonate with each of us and all of our listeners, this is a self-analysis. This is taking inventory for whatever you think is important for you, and whether or not, like Thomasina said, if you were the purchaser of your own service or product, would you buy it? So thank you, everybody. We're going to go to the caller that has their hand up. Last 4 digits of your number is 4534. Your line is open. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Anne. Good morning, Thomasina. Good morning, Ursula. This is S. Donnell. I thank you all so very much for this broadcast. I am being so very blessed and confirmed by everything. And two, I wanted to ask both Thomasina and Ursula if you are going to be at the January accountability meeting, January 5th in Boca Raton, Florida.
This is Thomasina, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say right before they answer the question, and you just preempted our part of our program, because that conversation is a part of this program, and thank you so very much for the call and reminding us. But we had planned to discuss that in great detail because that's exactly what January is about. But let me go ahead and let them answer the question, and thank you for your question.
And also,
Yes,
and I was just going to ask the caller if you'd like to press 1 again on your phone, and that takes your hand down so we know that we've already called on you. Yes, I am definitely planning to be there in January. Actually, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that is how I became a part of this particular mastermind group doing the call on Saturday. I, this time last year, was working for an employer, and had decided that I wanted to make a change and needed to do something differently. And the first thing I thought about was the mastermind and Anne's focus on the Think and Grow Rich book. And I knew that this accountability meeting was coming up. And so that's why I I had not attended the meeting before that, actually, but I knew about it and wanted to start the year off holding myself accountable for the changes that I said that I wanted to make and to be in community with other people who were about the business of trying to improve themselves and their business. So that was my personal commitment to myself, and I definitely have it on my calendar coming up for January 5th in Boca Raton, and hope to see a number of our listeners. I hope to have a number of you joining us there as well. And at this point, I'm wondering.
This is Ursula. I said that I will be there, but I can't speak to anything beyond excitement about being there because this will be the first time I will attend that. The time that I was introduced to a portion of what it might be like was at a NABWIC conference where Anne led a session during that time frame. So this will be my first, and I'm excited about it.
Thank you. Okay, Thomasina?
Yes. Maybe we want to two things I was going to ask. First of all, just to for listeners who may not be familiar, NABWIC is what, Ursula? What does that acronym stand for?
National Organization of Black Women in Construction, founded
okay,
by
great.
Ann McNeil.
Our very own master builder. I was going to ask you, Ann, if you wanted to share a little bit more about what the annual meeting is and how the annual meeting ties into this question of self-inventory.
Absolutely, and actually the annual meeting came out of the foundation of the International Mastermind Association. When we first started, a group of 10 of us reading this book and formed our first mastermind group in really the 1980s. And we started out by setting weekly goals. Then we went to monthly goals. Then we went to 6 months. And as we grew within about the first 10 years of being together as a mastermind group, we realized we needed to come together on a biannual basis and also an annual basis. And at that time, the goal was to review the 10 different areas of our life as it related to this book and looking at what we said we would do in the beginning of the year in terms of setting our goals. 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years at that time, and eventually we went out to 20 years, and right now I'm at 40 years in terms of setting goals 40 years in advance. But what we ended up doing was we ended up saying, okay, if we are going to hold each other accountable, let's take the self-inventory question, but for every single area of our life, starting with our spiritual goals, our family goals, our financial goals, our educational goals, our health goals, our personal development goals, our business, or if you want to call it profession, our creativity, and then our recreational goals. Those are the 10 categories that we set goals in. And we set those goals again for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and for some of us, we go out even further. But in doing that on an annual basis, I like to call it a tribunal, and I like to encourage each one of you to think about this. What if at the end of every year, you had to really assess, as if you were a publicly traded corporation, whether or not, going back to Thomasina's point, if you were trading a stock, if you were the stock being traded, would someone make an investment in shares of your company based upon what you projected and what you actually delivered in terms of performance? Well, that's the assessment that we take in December. Now, coming January, assuming you have to go before this tribunal, and this tribunal will give you an opportunity to share what did you say you were going to do last year, the beginning of the year. Did you actually do it? And if not, why not? Before the year starts, this tribunal then will decide, and this is an imaginary exercise, right? Just imagine if this tribunal would determine whether or not you get to live another 365 days in terms of what you did last year with your 365 days. Do you really expect to do any better? If not, then why should you have another 365 if you're not going to actually set your goals, set plans, act on those plans, and then assess? And so that is how this idea was born, to host at the beginning of the year, every year, annual meeting of accountability based upon this book, Think and Grow Rich, and based upon your professional and personal goals for your entire life. Oftentimes we come on this call and we talk about our business goals, our business life. But when you think about all the other areas of your life, are you setting goals in those areas? And as a result of that, for me personally and professionally, I've done some self-analysis and realized that in over 40 years of doing this exercise, that I needed to begin to teach what I'm learning. And that's a part of why we do this Blog Talk Radio show every single Saturday. Gosh, I think it's, you know, it's been over 10 or 11 years now. And so, Thomasina and everyone, that's the backstory on where this idea came from. And if you are online, can go to the show, this particular show on Blog Talk, we do have the Eventbrite link there, or you can go to the Eventbrite page itself and just search Think and Grow Rich Annual Meeting Accountability, and you will find that information. Or you can go to Google. So, Thomasina, that's the backstory.
Thank you, Anne. And as you said, there is a link on the website for the radio show where people can go and find information or go directly to Eventbrite. But if you have your calendar there, you might want to mark the first Saturday. The meeting is always the first Saturday of the new year. This coming year, that will be January 5th, 2019. We start at 8 a.m. and run till 3 o'clock p.m. And the cost is $79 per person. So come bring a friend, family. It's a great way to start your new year and develop a blueprint for all the things that you want to do. And just as importantly, to connect with like-minded people, to perhaps begin to form a mastermind that can help you to achieve those goals throughout the course of the year.
And again, we want to remind our callers, if you do have a question or comment, you can press 1 on your dial and we will entertain that question or comment.
And Anne, I can go to our next commercial break while we're waiting for our callers to perhaps join the conversation. And if not, then we can go back into perhaps one or two others of the 28 questions that Napoleon Hill suggests that we ask ourselves.
Absolutely.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
All right, and we're back. All right, Thomasina, so we can go back into the questions for each of us.
Okay. One of the other questions that we had talked about in prepping for the show that there was some energy around amongst our co-host is number 19. Have I followed the habit of budgeting my time, my expenses, and my income, and have I been conservative in these budgets? Ann or Aunt Luke, did you want to speak to that one?
Okay, I can go ahead and go. It's just Ann McNeil. I circle that years ago, and I continue to circle that because I am doing a better job, a much better job, in budgeting my time and my expenses and my income. Because when I started this process in December 31st, 1979, my goal was to save $1,000. And it literally took me, oh gosh, probably the first 10 years. Yes, I said 10, T-E-N years before. I want to make sure I didn't stutter. And the reason for that was because when I first wrote out my 6 steps to riches that's discussed in chapter 1 in Desire, when Napoleon Hill asked me how much money did I want, and I said $1,000, then he asked, the second question was, well, how was I going to get it? I said, save it. I had no idea. I had no idea. I was literally clueless in the fact that I could not save $1,000 a year for being so deeply in debt. And I had to learn how to first get out of debt, second, stay out of debt, and then create the habit of budgeting, even if it was $10. $10, just get in the habit of budgeting $10 to save out of every pay period. But more importantly, creating an additional income stream to get out of debt. And so just the learning of how to make money, then learning how to make money, make money, and then how to conserve and save time by doing what I talk about often on this show, of intentional congruence and maximizing the do the work once and repurpose it many, 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 many times. So following the habit of budgeting my time, and I want to say my expenses and my income, has been a phenomenal growth opportunity for me. And I'm still on that journey. I don't think it ever ends. So now I've gone from the idea of saving $1,000 a year to my goal is to save $1,000 a week. And then a few years ago, I added the word passive to that. So I'd love to learn how to save $1,000 a week passive. And then that then takes the whole mindset into investing and all of the different things that are required to actually learn how to do that. So this particular question resonated a lot with me. And I'll go to Angelique.
I actually kind of changed mine after doing a reevaluation, and I'm going to select number 28. What is my present rating on the fundamental principles of success? Make this rating fairly and frankly and have it checked by someone who is courageous enough to do it accurately. This one is a little bit funny because I actually did this with my 10-year-old son. And let's just say he has a very good way of getting his point across. And, you know, when this journey began, I would pray with him and I would say, you know, let me surround myself with people that are successful so that I can see or be able to be in the ambiance of these people to just see how they live. And, you know, it wasn't until I got to Atlanta that I was able to ask him this question. And he told me, well, God must really like you because you get everything you pray for. And, you know, I think sometimes we get so caught up into everything till we don't really acknowledge what has already happened or what has already unfolded or the opportunities that have come or the opportunities or the situations that we have overcome. So when I was doing that evaluation and he got here, he's like, well, what are you going to do now? And my answer to him was more. You know, sometimes I think with me coming in, I just want to express this has happened so quickly for me. This has happened, I think, in less than 6 months, Ms. Ann, and things are consistently
just overturning ways or doors that were closed are now opening. And it's just a very humbling experience. That's why I really wanted to hint on this one specifically. And I remember as a child, I would ask, because I was raised by my grandmother, and I would ask her, like, how do you know if the prayer works? Sometimes when she would get grocery or something, she would say, oh, God did it. And as a child, you, like, how do you know? And I think with you developing and getting aligned with yourself and meditating, which is the book humbles you if you take heed to it. It's not just a change in your business. It's a change in your lifestyle. It's a change the way you go about certain things. And I don't think if you apply the book that you'll stay the same. If something will, a chapter or a line will register to you, and it allows your mind to be open and not closed. So with this one in particular here, I remember asking her, like, how do you know the prayer works? And she said, it works every time. It'll never fail. And I just wanted to share that with anyone that may be on the call, because I think sometimes we pray and then we feel as though it's not answered, when in actuality, every prayer gets answered. It just may not be the answer that you want, you know. So it's up to us to take hold of that. And then, you know, we bob and weave through all of the other things and just stay focused, stay aligned with yourself. And, you know, a lot of us are our own worst critics. You know, I have met with people and they're like, you have come so far. And me, I'm like, no, I still have so much to do. I want to do this. I want to do that. Sometimes just take a look at where you are and what you've overcome and just be grateful for that and know that it'll get better. It only gets better from that point where you stand. So thank you, Thomasina.
Amen, Evangelist Angelique. Yes.
Okay, this is Ursula, and I wanted to speak to number 22.
Excuse me, Ursula, if you wouldn't mind, we have a caller who's been waiting patiently on the line. If you wouldn't mind letting us get the caller in whose number ends in 1319, and then we can come back to you. Okay. So we're opening up the phone lines now for the caller whose number ends in 1319. Good morning. Thank you for your comment or your question.
Good morning. How are you, Thomasina? Good morning, everyone. This is Nefreda, and I was really enjoying. I never miss your show, by the way, on Saturday morning. And I just want to tell you thank you for allowing me to listen and also participate. And I really was calling in this morning to ask Ursula Odom a question. And also to make a comment, last week, Thomasina, may have been the week before, Thomasina gave a really compelling story about her journey or a portion of her journey. I just wanted to tell her that it really resonated with my spirit, and I just wanted to thank you for being so open and willing to share. And it really was a blessing to hear you tell that story. I really felt like I was walking in it with you. You told it so eloquently. So I want to thank you for that, and it was extremely powerful. And congratulations on where you've come from that story. And Ursula, the question I have for you is where you were is where I am right now, and you just made me understand that it's okay to be all over the place if it is organized all over the place. And so I now understand that it all culminates. I actually have already taken the time to do the list that you did since you all have been on the call. And I realized that everything that I was doing that felt like I was all over the place was to put me in the one place that I do well. And so now that I understand that, I understand now is the reason why I didn't have the right business cards, or I didn't have the capability statements and all other stuff, and then all of the things that relates to the other, because I've been trained to work in the other nine areas of my life outside of my business. And all of that helped me be a better grandmother, a better mom, a better cousin, a better caregiver, all of those things was working together to make the one Nefreda that Nefreda is very pleased with, and I'm enjoying the work that I'm doing. So thank you, Ursula, for your comments. Thank all of you for your comments, but I really wanted to hone in on Ursula because I really resonated with what she was saying, and I really think that this call or this thing that you all do every morning on Blog Talk is such a blessing to so many people, whether they say something or not. Just continue to do what you're doing, and thank you all very much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Nefreda. We appreciate your support and your listening and your sharing, because your sharing, I'm sure, is empowering and blessing somebody else who's listening as well.
Well,
I'm sorry, Ursula.
Hi.
Would you like to?
This is Ursula. Yeah, there are two things now. First of all, thank you so much for that comment, but it reminds me of what drives me. There's someone owned a black bookstore, and she's no longer with us, but when I wanted to write my first book, I went to her for advice, and we went back and forth and back and forth, and what she finally said was, Ursula, it's not how many lives you affect, but that you affect lives. So every time, I'm telling you, every time someone says to me that something I said or did impact their lives, I think of her. And it's such a blessing to have that continuation and to hear it from you. But I pass it through to her. I mean, in the spiritual world, she's impacting us to this day. Now, the thing I wanted to talk about before you said that was number 22. Have I been guilty of any conduct which I was not approved? Okay. Have I been guilty of any conduct which was not approved by my conscience? So did I do something that I really felt bad about? And one of the things that came to mind was that I really felt like I wasn't being paid enough, but I felt guilty about trying to raise my price. So my conscience was fighting with my pocketbook. And so what I realized one day, and these are not my numbers, but for example's sake, that I took the amount of money that I was charging and divided by the number of people that were attending, and when I realized how small that number was for them on an individual basis, I said, I'm worth more than that. So example, if 100 people are attending a session and I'm getting $100, that's a dollar per person. Well, I'm worth more than that. If I'm charging $1,000 and 100 people are attending, then the cost to them is $10. Okay, so, and if it's $10,000 and 100 people are attending, that's $100. And all of a sudden, my conscience stepped back and said, okay, we can work with this a little bit better. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, and that also speaks to the self-confidence formula, and that's one of the things that we find in the first parts of this book. As we grow, our self-confidence grows, and our value in what we charge, as we deliver greater value to the hearers and the readers and the participants and what we're expressing are willing to pay more because they're feeling as though they're getting more. So thank you again for sharing that. So Thomasina, I think if we have any other questions, if not, we can go ahead and begin to wind down the show.
Okay. I wanted to just offer something that occurred to me in Ursula sharing about the woman who was essentially a mentor to her and how she still thinks about that woman. And what comes up for me is the power of legacy. Ursula and I are both very committed to the concept of legacy in very different ways. But I think oftentimes we think about what we want to leave for the next generation as being money or a business or some tangible thing. To leave that kind of, to me, legacy, something that has continued to resonate and really feed and nurture you, Ursula, all these years later, that doesn't have a monetary value to it all, is a very, very powerful legacy. And I would just hope that we think about those kinds of things. We think about the lives that we leave, that we lead, rather, the lives that we live, and the people that we touch as being a part of our legacy. Just, and I mean, I think your legacy is phenomenal in terms of how many people's lives you have touched through encouraging them to really study the principles of Think and Grow Rich, and how many people they have then been able to touch. And just the ripple impact of that is a powerful, powerful legacy that you can't put a monetary value on that.
Okay, now I'm speechless.
Which is a first. But it's true. I mean, the way in which we touch people, that is part of our legacy. And we touch people by the way in which we walk through the world, the things that we not only say, but how they see us live our lives. And I just think that, you know, it was a passing reference you made, Ursula, and I just didn't want that to go by without being acknowledged. That the way we live our lives and the things that we do that help other people, that inspire people in ways that we may sometimes never even know. I've been amazed by times that people came back to me and said, oh, remember when you did such and such, and, you know, it had this, all these ripple effects. And then just thinking about how, again, I shared at the beginning how I came to be a part of the show every Saturday morning. I think you have a powerful, not I think, I know that, Anne, you have a powerful, powerful legacy of the people who you've touched. And I think that probably everybody on the call has touched someone in some way. And I would just ask us to remember that that also is a part of the legacy that we're leaving for each other and for the next generation and generations to come.
Yeah, and I think, Thomasina, this is why the show every Saturday is so empowering and so important, because I find that as we share publicly, and this, you know, this will go on, but, you know, where else can you share like this in all of the mm-hmm. different areas of our lives and the circles that we operate in? You don't find this opportunity and this space, and that's why the book as a foundation I have found has been so empowering. But reason, one of the reasons why I said that I am speechless is really a form of confirmation. I hosted a call about 2 weeks ago in preparation for a one-day retreat that I'm hosting on November the 7th. And I decided as I was preparing for the one day, I said, gosh, just imagine if I had not read the book. And then I began to go deeper and deeper with just imagine if I did not do that exercise and really take it to heart. And I kept saying, just mm-hmm. imagine. And then as I continued to just imagine, just with myself as a part of my journaling process in the morning, and just thinking backwards about, and that's the point you're making, and I think it is so true for each and every one of us. There are people who will only hear Thomasina's voice, Ursula's voice, Angelique's voice, Nefreda's voice, Danelle's voice, you know, Robin's voice. Robin sent me a photo of her book cover, and it stopped me in my tracks, because just imagine if she did not have trials and tribulations in her life, all the lives that she is touching and will touch. And so the work really is inside of every one of us. Question mm-hmm. is, are we willing to do the work? That's what this chapter is about. When we think about taking a self-inventory, it's empowering. It is really empowering. I was in a mastermind group where each week we took one of these questions, and everybody in the group chimed in on their response to the question. And so I want to just thank everybody, Thomasina. I'm glad we didn't end the show a few minutes ago, because I, again, like Ursula said to Nefreda, thank you so very much for the comments, because it is very empowering. Now, I think that, I'm not sure, Nefreda, if you had your hand up again, if you had wanted to answer another question. If you do, I'll go ahead and open your line. If you don't, then you can just say no. But we're going to go ahead and start wrapping up. Did you have another question, Ms. Thomas?
Yes, no, I didn't have another question. I had a comment. I wanted to say that you guys need to move this to TV,
because I've watched The View, and I like The View. But they talk about people. They talk about people, business. You know, that's what people like. But it's up to us to change the trajectory of the lives that we live and the lives that is lived in the United States or around the world. It's up to us. It takes the View changes the world. Why? Because they look at it. But they look at what they put before them. If we put something different before them, then we change the trajectory. So I think that we need to move this to TV. And I will be willing to look into moving us to TV. You all need to be on TV with this show. When I listen to the comments that the young lady, Thomasina, just gave, I'm like, and talking about Anne's legacy, it's exactly what I would like to do for my family. And then is that not what Thomasina does for a living? She teaches people mm-hmm. how to do that. I mean, just think about all of the power you have on just that call. And then you think about all the other women that may not be on today, like Robin Donaldson. Robin Donaldson is a powerhouse to me. I resonated to her immediately. She's awesome. Katina, awesome ladies. And these are just a few women I'm naming, okay, just a few of the many that we know. This needs to go to TV, and you guys need to be able to have TV where you can interact with callers. And people who want to change their lives just don't know how or the direction. So while you guys are ending the show, we need to be all thinking about how do we go to TV. And that's my comment. Love y'all. Bye.
Well, see, you know, you say that, but it is something that we have discussed. And Angelique, I know, is sitting there smiling from ear to ear because she was imagining us being on TV with a long table sitting around with a cup of coffee. And so you're right on task, right on target. But right now we're just on radio. We need to get people to listen to this. So if all of you can help share this, because that's a major undertaking. But, you know, without a vision, people perish. Thomasina, we can go ahead and prepare to wrap up unless we have any other questions. I don't know. All right. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up with this being our last question and comment. Thomasina, I'm not sure if you're saying anything, but I'm going to go ahead and do our wrap-up commercial.
Oh, I apologize, Anne. I'm sorry. I put the phone on mute because I was laughing so hard at Nefreda and the TV thing. I thought I better put myself on mute. I was asking whether we want to see whether Angelique has a closing comment to share.
Yes, I do have one, and I'm actually going to read it from, it's very short, but it's from one of my journaling because I did turn 31 this month, so I have come so far.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. So what I wrote on 9-1 is what I now know about success is that it's not measured by what you have or what you wear, but what's going on the inside of you and getting the courage to do what others feel they cannot and then overcoming it.
Wow.
I have, Thomasina.
Powerful. Powerful.
That's powerful. Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that because I think that's what it's all about, is working on us. That's what this self-analysis inventory is about, and then having the courage to step out on faith.
All right, Thomasina, so you can go ahead and wrap us up. The time has been well spent, invested.
Well, thank you all so much. We look forward to talking with you next Saturday morning, 8 a.m. And in the meantime, we encourage you to think and grow rich and avail yourself of the power of the mastermind.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich. The original version, restored and revised, by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.